The following program sponsored by Christian Training and Development Services, Hanson Chiropractic, Northwest Family Life, Ludeman Capital Management, Network Services, and Cannon Beach Christian Conference Center.
Hello, and welcome to Creation Matters with your host, Mike Riddle, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live. Mike is an author, teacher, and conference speaker, and is president of Christian Training and Development Services. Creation Matters is dedicated to the teaching of the biblical and scientific truths about God's creation. In the beginning, God created, and for by Him were all things created. And now here's your host of Creation Matters, Mike Riddle.
Well, we have another wonderful show ready for you today, and I hope you've got some track shoes on today, because, folks, we're going to go 90 miles an hour through this. We're going to talk about 20 logic errors used by evolutionists when discussing the subject of creation evolution. And, you know, we also find a lot of these errors, these logic errors, in the textbooks. So we're going to be going through that, and this is Mike Riddle, your host, and we're talking about Creation Matters. This is the show that teaches the scientific and biblical truths about creation. In the beginning, God created. You know, that's probably the most scientific statement ever made. I don't think anybody's going to ever beat that. In the beginning, God created. And I'd like to start. Does anybody out there have any real observable evidence of evolution? I'd like to know. Does anybody out there have any real observable evidence for evolution before we get into these 20 logic errors? If you think you have some real evidence, give us a call at 800-955-8200. That's our phone number, 800-955-8200. Or do you believe that evolution has nothing to stand on? We'd like to hear from you today. Is there absolutely no observable evidence for evolution? And I think we're going to see that as we go through some of these logic errors used by evolutionists. 20 logic errors used by evolutionists. And just to make sure that we are going to go about 90 miles an hour, because I want to make sure we try and cover all 20 of these. And if you can't write them down, I have a special person with me here today, called a son-in-law, who's going to put all this on our website tonight. Hopefully tonight. I haven't twisted his arm hard enough yet, but we're going to try and twist it. 20 logic errors. And you can show these to teachers, you can show these to friends, that when they try and argue for evolution or against creation, most of the time they're committing errors and logic errors, or just using bad science. Well, let's start with number one here. I gave this my own personal name here, just to kind of keep it easy. It's called fuzzy words. That should make it real easy to understand. Fuzzy words. Now, I'm going to read these fuzzy words off to you, and I'm going to let you know, I found every one of these words or phrases in a biology textbook under the chapter labeled evolution. Here's how they're trying to support evolution in our public schools. Here's how they support it. Words like we believe or we think. Does that sound scientific to anybody out there? We believe or we think. How about this one? Given enough time, it will happen. Did you know that is a very unscientific statement? Any teacher that's using that is not talking science anymore. You know what that statement says? Given enough time, it will happen. What they're really saying is, if you phrase it correctly, it says this: we don't know how it happened, but given enough time, we have faith it will. That statement is not science. That's a religious, faith-based statement. Anytime any teacher, anybody says, well, we don't know how it happened, but just given enough time, it will, that's a religious statement. Here's another one I found in a biology textbook under fuzzy words. It might work. Wow, didn't that sound scientific? Now, here's another one. I'm going to give you an example, the actual example I found this on. This is under a modern biology textbook, and here's how they supported evolution. It must have formed. And here's the exact phrase, and I quote, those life forms must have evolved in the absence of oxygen. Doesn't that sound scientific? It must have. Here's another one. Could possibly have been. Now, here's the most scientific one. Here is absolutely the most scientific statement they had in their book to support evolution. My guess is, can you believe that? That's how they're supporting evolution. You know, anytime you see any of these fuzzy words, and you read these fuzzy words, you know we see them a lot in the press also. That's how the people, when they write these articles to support evolution, you'll find them in the newspapers and journals. Anytime you see these fuzzy words, you should stop and think, wow. What they're saying is they don't have the evidence. If they had the evidence, they wouldn't have to use any of these types of words. They could use, we have observed, We have done, we have completed. But no, we're saying we believe, we think, give enough time, my might work, must have form, my guess is, seems like. That's not science. That's faith. So the use of fuzzy words clearly demonstrates the evolutionists don't have the evidence to support their claims. You know, folks, great claims require real evidence. But all I see in these textbooks is great claims with no real evidence. Well, let's go to logic error number two, commonly used by the evolutionists in their discussions. I call this the half-truth. In other words, it's half-true and half-false. In other words, a half-truth is many times more effective than what we call the complete lie. It mixes half-truth with some legitimate information. Let me give you an example here. This is an example I find in textbooks, and I find it on the evolutionist websites, too. I'm not going to promote their websites, so I'm not going to give the URLs, but they do have several websites out there, and I can tell almost within 2 minutes of a discussion with an evolutionist that that's where they got all their information from, their websites. And you know, once I know that, it's very easy to beat them in a discussion because their own websites set their own people up for failure. Let me give you the example here of the half-truth. The second law of thermodynamics only applies to isolated systems, so it is not relevant to evolution because the Earth is an open system. Well, it does apply to isolated systems, but it also applies to open systems. That's the half-truth right there. You see, it's half-true, half-false. Anybody that's worked in the area of heat energy, the area of thermodynamics, which is heat energy, the study of heat energy, knows fully well that the second law works in all types of systems. Now, what do we mean by the second law? What the second law basically says is that over time, everything is losing its available energy for doing work. Kind of like what happens to us at the end of the day. Isn't that right? At the end of the day, we've lost a lot of energy. We need to gain some energy back. So we eat, we drink, and we go out there and get some sunshine. But the second law is also referred to as everything's in decay. Everything's going downhill. But the evolutionists say, no, that only applies to isolated systems where we can't add any energy to it. But you know, that's a complete denial. That is a complete denial that every one of us is decaying. That's a complete denial that people grow old and decay. Because, folks, we all live in what's called an open system. Now, what I mean by an open system is this. Here's your little teaching thing on this. An open system is any system that we can add energy to it, or matter or energy into it. Now, certainly on the Earth, the sun adds energy into the Earth, doesn't it? So it's an open system. And the evolutionists are denying that things are decaying in that open system. How unscientific can we get? Folks, is there any evidence out there anywhere for evolution other than pictures drawn in textbooks? So we've had fuzzy words and we've had the half-truth. Let's go to number three. Logic error number three. I call this the bandwagon. This is the appeal to everyone agrees. Here's your example. All scientists accept evolution. No real scientist accepts creation. Now, anybody making that statement is misinformed, folks. They are completely misinformed. They should not be teaching science anywhere because they don't understand where we got all our science today. You know, most all our modern science today came out of Bible-believing Christians. How about that? Almost all our science today came out of Bible-believing Christians. How about Copernicus, Kepler, Galileo, Newton, all young Earth creationists? I think they were pretty good scientists. Most of our founders of modern science were Bible believers. You know, there's over 1,000 scientists today that have PhDs in physics, chemistry, biology, that believe in a literal six-day creation. So this idea that no real scientists accept creation or all scientists believe evolution is a logical fallacy. And that's what we call the bandwagon. They're jumping on the bandwagon. Well, let's go to number four. Logic error number four used by evolutionists. Called the glittering generalities. Now, incidentally, again, we'll have these posted on our website later tonight or early tomorrow morning, so you can just download all these. Number four, glittering generalities. What this is a broad oversimplification of an explanation, a broad oversimplification of what you're trying to explain. Let me give you the example here. Scientists may agree about the mechanism of evolution, or may disagree about them. Excuse me, let me say that again. Scientists may disagree about the mechanism of evolution, but all agree that evolution is a fact. In other words, what they're saying here is they don't understand how evolution happened, but they still agree it's a fact. So therefore, don't discuss the mechanism. Just believe it as a fact. Folks, science requires observable evidence, not coercion that we're seeing in a lot of our school systems today, that you will believe evolution. You will have to believe evolution. You will have to answer the questions right, even though the information is wrong about evolution. So number four, glittering generalities, a broad oversimplification of an explanation. Let's go to number five. I call this loaded words. Loaded words. In other words, using emotionally charged words to influence a reaction. Here's your example. Creationism is a tactic by the Christian right to force their religious agenda on our children. That is not true at all, folks. Creationism is not a tactic by the Christian right. Evolution is a tactic by, whether you want to call them the left or whatever you want to call them, to force their religion on our children today. Because, folks, I remember several weeks ago, I put out the challenge, if anybody out there, anybody, or if you know of anybody that believes evolution is a fact, I will invite them on this radio show to prove it. Evolution as a fact. You know I got zero takers. You see, when they're challenged, they don't stand up very well. Anybody out there that really thinks evolution is a fact, I will invite you on this radio station to defend your position in an open discussion. So far, we've had zero takers. So loaded words, emotionally charged words, those creationists are just trying to get their religious agenda on our children. No, folks, as a creationist, we're not out to teach creation in the science classroom. Now, if this was a perfect world, no sin, that's what we would be teaching. We would be teaching the truth in every subject. But it's not a perfect world. We have sin. So what we want, folks, is the science taught in the science classroom. And you know, we're not allowed to do that anymore. Evolution has prohibited science from being taught in the science classroom. Anybody agree with that or disagree with that? Give us a call, 800-955-8200. 800-955-8200. That evolution is hindering our education because they're not doing science. They're preventing science. They're preventing critical thinking from the classroom. That's this, basically what just happened in Cobb County. So loaded words. Here's another one, number six. We call this association. Associating something you want to criticize with something people might dislike. For example, associating creation in the same sentence with astrology or other known myths. I see that quite a bit. They always put creation with astrology and other known myths. That is a logical fallacy. That's called association. If they don't think creation is true, then why don't they debate us? You see, if evolution had all the facts, if it was really science, why do they avoid the debates? Well, there's an easy answer for that, because almost every debate we've had, they've lost, because they can't keep it to science. They have to use these logic errors. And you need to recognize these logic errors, because you know there's a lot of teachers out there using these, thinking they're really promoting evolution when they're really using logical errors. Well, so far we've had fuzzy words, we've had a half-truth, we've had the bandwagon, we have glittering generalities, we've had loaded words, and we've had association. And when we come back from the break, we might have a few callers here. If you have any thoughts on this, call us at 800-955-8200. And we're going to talk more about these logical fallacies used by evolutionists, because they don't seem to have the science to support what they're talking about. So give us a call, 800-955-8200. We're going to have these posted on our website maybe later tonight. And the website is creationmatters.org. Creationmatters.org. Go out there and you'll find these later tonight and early tomorrow morning. Welcome back to Creation Matters, and tonight's topic is 20 logic fallacies used by evolutionists when trying to defend their position. And so we've discussed the first six. Number one was fuzzy words used by evolutionists. We believe, we think, given enough time, might work, must have form, my guess is, or seems like. Not one of those is very scientific, folks. Number two was the half-truth. Number three was the bandwagon, the appeal to everyone agrees. Number four was glittering generalities, a broad oversimplification. Number 5 was loaded words, usually mostly emotionally charged words. And number 6 was associating. Associating a group with something people normally don't associate with. And we have our caller out there, and I'd like to take Art from Puyallup. You have a question or a concern about creation evolution.
Yes, sir. Mike, I really appreciate your ministry, and I love hearing your topics. Hey, I'm really into evidence of the flood, and I've talked to you before on it. But in specifics, the Grand Canyon, is that not all, and Bryce Canyon and Zion National Park and Escalantes and all those places down there, aren't those sedimentary rocks?
Yes, they are sedimentary rocks.
And therefore, didn't there have to be a whole bunch of sediment that rock?
There would have to be a lot of sediment, but you know, here's the two choices. One, we had a long period of time and little water, like the Colorado River forming, or we had a lot of water and a little time to do it.
Right.
Then the Genesis flood, what we have seen, a flood of that proportion, would have laid down sediments rapidly. You know, Mount St. Helens is the best observable evidence we have of that. Mount St. Helens laid down thousands of thin layers of sediment in a matter of hours.
Okay.
Off the East Coast, we actually have over 100,000 square miles of sediments that were laid down in a matter of hours. They're called turbidites. Those are underwater landslides. And this was actually observed to happen in the early 20th century. I like to say that now that we're in the 21st century. We had an underwater landslide that just systematically cut each one of the cables, transatlantic cables. And they went down to find out what happened. There was an earthquake, and a huge underwater landslide laid down over 100,000 square miles of sediment just in a matter of hours.
Yeah, but did it turn to rock like the Grand Canyon and Zion and all that?
Yes, once not under there yet. See, if you get the right minerals, right elements, and you can turn to rock, it doesn't take a long time to turn to solid rock. All you have to do is have the right minerals. For instance, let's take petrified wood, for example.
Exactly.
You know, we can make petrified wood through natural processes in well under a week.
Huh.
It's just having the right conditions.
And Mike, thank you for that. Also, all around here, we've got the quote-unquote glacial till. And I go look at a gravel pit or something, and I just see where they've scarred the countryside, just all that plaster rock and the clay and just the layers that are in there. There's no way a glacier could do that. That had to be a flood, right?
Yes, we see signs of a flood everywhere. There's no way that we could have what we see today over long periods of time. It just does not fit the evidence.
And it doesn't. That's great. I appreciate it, sir. Keep on teaching us.
Oh, thank you very much, Art. Thank you for calling. God bless you.
Bye.
Well, let's get back to our logic errors, and we want to let you know that we do need sponsors for this show. We have our favorite sponsor, Hanson Chiropractic, and I want to let you know, you need to go there and see Dr. Dan and Dr. Mary. They are just wonderful people. They are more than your normal chiropractor. They will sit down and talk the science with you, folks. These people are wonderful. I've been to their place to see what they do. They have some tremendous stuff there. But we are looking for more sponsors, folks, to keep this show on the air. And if you'd like to contact us again, you can go to our website, creationmatters.org. Well, let's continue on. Number 7, logic error number 7 used by evolutionists. I call this ridicule. Ridicule. This is attempting to provoke a dislike against a person or idea by name-calling. Here's your example. Creationists are troglodytes and flat earthers. That's quite often used. You know, I've seen that actually in textbooks. You know, there's no place for that in textbooks, but yet there is. That's all the evolutionists seem to resort to. Let me give you another example here. This just happened. Bill Maher, who has his own radio and TV shows out there, one of what's called politically uncorrect or correct. Bill Maher made a statement the other day. Let me read this to you about Christians. It says, Christians and others who are religious suffer from a neurological disorder that stops people from thinking. Did you know that's what he has been saying over the radio and over television? That's what he called. He says, we are a nation that is unenlightened because of religion. Let me read to you what else he had to say in this comment. He goes on to say, Bill Maher, I am just embarrassed that it has been taken over by people like evangelicals, by people who do not believe in science and rationality. And then he goes on to equate the Bible to fairy tales. Well, folks, who is the irrational person here? Not the Christians, folks. Bill Maher is one of the irrational people that does not understand science. He simply does not understand science. Bill Maher has the greatest religious faith of anybody, folks, because, you know, he believes in evolution. That requires much more religious faith than it does to believe in the Bible, folks, because the Bible has evidence. Evolution does not. And if anybody out there thinks evolution has any real observable evidence, you got to give us a call at 800-955-8200. So right there you see one of the most irrational, illogical, and unscientific people I know on television. There's probably a lot that are close to him, too. Well, let's go to number 8 here. Logic error number 8 used by evolutionists and also found in many of our textbooks. I call this circumstantial evidence. Circumstantial evidence. What we mean by that is assuming physical evidences are related. Assuming physical evidences are related. Let me give you a couple examples. Now, example number 1 is probably the best evidence I have heard from an evolutionist. This is probably the best evidence I've heard from an evolutionist. And here's their statement. And see if you think this is scientific. We are here, therefore, we must have evolved. Whoa! Does that sound scientific to you folks? We are here, therefore, we must have evolved? Where is the evidence? This is one of their best evidences they use. See, there's nothing observable about this. It's just making a great claim. And they do this so they don't have to support it with observable evidence. In other words, these logic errors are just ploys so somebody won't challenge them to produce the real evidence. Here's another example of circumstantial evidence, assuming physical evidences are related. Fossil horses are arranged in an evolutionary sequence. Therefore, we know horses evolved. Well, you know what they're not telling you there? We go to the museums, we see these horses arranged from smallest to largest. We have the same picture in our textbooks. You know what they're not telling you about this? That's not how we found them. We did not find the horses from smallest to largest. We found them all mixed together. You know what that means? They all lived at the same time. We need to get science back to the science classroom. That's one of the things I've been saying for all these months we've been on here. Folks, evolution is hindering our education system. It is hindering good science from being taught. What they also don't tell you about those horses is they have this small to medium to large horses. You know we have small horses today? We have miniature horses. We actually have miniature horse farms here in the state of Washington. We have medium-sized horses and we have large horses. They're not evolving. They exist today, and they're all horses. So this whole horse evolutionary sequence has been fabricated. Well, so far we've had 8 logical errors used by evolutionists. Fuzzy words, half-truth, bandwagon, glittering generalities, loaded words, association, ridicule. And then number 8 was circumstantial evidence. And let's go to number 9. I call this the either-or fallacy. Number 9, the either-or fallacy. And what I mean by this is presenting only one possible solution when others are justified. In other words, presenting only one possible solution when others are justified. Here's your example. If we teach creation, then we'll have to teach every other creation myth. Now, here's the fallacy of that. We are not, as creationists, as Christians, out to teach creation or the Bible in the science classroom because it's not a perfect world. Therefore, what we do want is to teach the science in the science classroom. And the evolutionists do not want that to happen. That's happened all across this country, even in this state. They do not want the scientific evidence brought up in the evolution class. They just want to control our children by teaching them a false religion called evolution. Now, if it sounds like I'm strong here tonight, folks, I am. I'm being very strong in this because I travel all over the world, folks. I've been to every state in this country, been to universities, I've been to secular schools, I've been to Christian schools, and I've been in debates, I've talked to many people, but they cannot produce the evidence. And what I'm seeing in these schools is they won't invite creationists anymore into the public schools because they're afraid all we can talk about is religion. Folks, it's not us talking about only religion. The evolutionists are talking about religion. You know when I get in debates? Almost every single case is the evolutionist that starts bringing up religion. And I try and tell them, let's just stick to science, and they get upset because they can't do that. So the either-or fallacy, number 9. And we're going to go to a break here in just a moment. We're going to come back to number 10 called the analogy. So So if you have any questions, if anybody out there has any observable evidence for evolution, we're still waiting for somebody to call and give us any evidence of evolution. Give us a call at 800-955-8200. And also, if you'd like to help sponsor this show and keep the truth being taught about creation, go to our website, creationmatters.org, creationmatters.org, and you can go out there and find tremendous resources. You can even see samples of our DVDs, 2 to 3 minute samples. Welcome back to Creation Matters. I'm your host, Mike Riddle, and we're talking about logic errors used by evolutionists when they get into discussions on creation evolution. And we've finished the first 9 so far, but I want to give you a couple of little points here before we go on. If you would like to request a seminar for myself or somebody from maybe Answers in Genesis to come out and talk at your school or location, you can go to our website, creationmatters.org, and on the left-hand column, we have a little couple of words there you can click on. It'll take you right to the place to request a seminar or talk. Just this last Sunday, I was at Crossroads Bible Church and doing a seminar for their high school group, and we had a wonderful time there. What a wonderful group of students that were out there. And I've already got several emails from those students, just very positive emails, but just a great group of children and kids out there at Crossroads Bible. And I'll be out there again on March the 20th, if you're interested, not Crossroads Bible Church in Bellevue, Washington. And tomorrow, if you're interested, I'm going to be at Snohomish County Christian School, Snohomish Christian School in Montlake Terrace, and I'll be up there for their chapel. And we've got quite a topic there, folks. We're going to talk about cloning, stem cells, and when does life begin? Terrific topic we're going to talk about. When does life begin? Cloning. We're going to talk about the truth of cloning and the truth of stem cells that the press doesn't seem to want to do. So tomorrow morning I'll be at Snohomish Christian School. Well, let's continue on here. Let's go to number 10, the analogy, another logic error used by evolutionists. And what we mean by analogy is improperly drawing parallels while ignoring differences. For example, they make this statement, evolution is a fact like digestion or gravity. Well, that's a logical error right there, folks, because we can see digestion happening. We can observe that. We can take a ball and drop it off a building and see the effects of gravity, but we can't see the effects of evolution because it never happened. See, there's the problem. Evolution draws improper parallels by saying, oh, evolution is a fact like digestion. Well, we know digestion is a fact. We know gravity is a fact. But evolution is not a fact, and I'll go so far again to say it's not a theory. We should never call it a theory. It's an unverified hypothesis, or it's a model. By the scientific method, if we still allow that to be taught in the schools, it is not a fact, and it's not a theory. Well, let's go on to logic error number 11, and I told you this at the start of the show, we're going to go 90 miles an hour. So if you want all these, we'll have them posted later tonight on our website, creationmatters.org, or you can go out there tomorrow morning. For sure, we'll have them posted. But number 9 is appeal to authority. In other words, relying on authority rather than logic and evidence. Here's your examples. Nothing in biology makes sense in the light of evolution. In other words, what they're saying there is you can't have biology unless you're teaching evolution. That's a complete falsehood. That is what I would call a full lie. Because, you know, you can take evolution completely out of the textbooks and have wonderful science being taught. I don't think evolution has helped at all in anything we have done in science. You see, is evolution even necessary for science? See, I think if we had a complete disbelief in evolution, it would not affect our science at all. Actually, it would make it go better. Let me give you some ideas what evolution has done to hinder our science. You see, it's not necessary to do math. Understanding evolution is not necessary to understand human anatomy. Understanding evolution is not necessary for physics or condensed matter. It's not necessary for understanding how chemicals bond together. We could just throw evolution completely out and understand all this science. But here's what evolution has done to hinder scientific progress. At one time, they thought there were over 100 leftover organs in our body called vestigial organs, like the appendix, the coccyx, our tonsils. All those, evolution thought, oh, those are useless organs. We don't need those things. Let's cut them out. Folks, that was a lie. Those are useful organs in our body. They are needed. Our tonsils are part of our immune system. We're young. Our appendix is part of our immune system. The coccyx is a very important organ in our body, folks. You can take it out and still live, but you won't be comfortable for the rest of your life. Then a second thing they've done to hinder the Miller experiment. They still teach, you know, they still teach this Miller experiment in our schools, where Miller was supposed to have created the building blocks of life in the laboratory. That's been debunked almost 40 years ago. But yet, we're still teaching students that, and they're still making the same mistakes. Think of this. All the time and money spent searching for those missing links that they have not found yet. You know, they haven't found them, so you know what they're doing? Drawing pictures in our textbooks. Think about all the time and money spent looking for intelligent life elsewhere in the universe. So you see how much evolution hinders our scientific progress? We're spending money on evolution when it could be spent on curing diseases and helping people. For instance, how about the whole abortion issue? You know, Planned Parenthood about 30 years ago, and probably less than that, was teaching that the embryo inside the woman's womb was not a human being. It was undergoing its stages of evolution. Folks, that's scientifically wrong. Now they're teaching that it's just a blob. Folks, that is wrong. Now they're teaching that it's separate, it's part of the woman's body. No, it is not part of the woman's body, folks. It is a separate human being, has its own blood supply in there. So evolution is hindering scientific progress. We don't need it. Well, let's go on to number 12, because we've got to race along here. Number 12, logic error, is extrapolation, extrapolating something, assuming a trend beyond what data permits. Example, radioactive dating methods prove the Earth is 4.6 billion years old. That is a huge extrapolation, because all we can do is take a short sample in a short time period, then extrapolate that back billions of years. We can't be certain on that. So tremendous extrapolation, because you know there's some underlying assumptions to the radioactive dating method. And we're going to talk about that when we get to the age of the Earth in several weeks. I want to hold that one off for several weeks. We're going to talk about the scientific evidence for the age of the Earth. Here's another extrapolation. Mutations are a mechanism for evolution. No, they're not. Any biologist that's done any real study on evolution, or on mutations, mutations, knows full well most all known mutations are either neutral or detrimental. Very few, if any, beneficial ones. And there hadn't been enough time to have enough beneficial ones, folks, to have anything close to evolution. Well, let's go on to number 13. We call this the best in field fallacy. The best in field fallacy. This is an appeal to overlook discrepancies in a theory. That's what evolution commonly does. Don't bother. You know, several states have outlawed, get this, they have outlawed the teaching of evidences against evolution. Any scientific evidence that goes against evolution has been outlawed in some states. That's not called science. That's not even called evolution. It's not called education anymore. But here's your example. We don't have all the answers, but evolution is the best model we have. Well, what makes you think it's the best model we have? What is your evidence to support it's the best model? I don't think it's the best model. I think there's a lot of other better models. And, well, actually, there's only one other model. It's called the creation model. And it, by far, is the more scientific model. Well, so far, we've had fuzzy words. We've had half-truth, bandwagon, glittering generalities, loaded words, association, ridicule. Number 8 was circumstantial evidence. Number 9 was either-or fallacy. Number 10 was analogy. Number 11 was authority. Number 12 was extrapolation. Number 13 was best-in-field fallacy. And our number 14 is called shifting the burden of proof. What we mean by shifting the burden of proof is forgetting that it is your responsibility as an evolutionist to prove your claim, not ours to disprove it. Before I can accept evolution, folks, you have to prove it. Why should anybody accept evolution when you can't prove it? Let me give you an example. Claiming that creation has no proof and therefore should not be taught when evolution has never been proven or is even capable of proof. Here's your challenge again, folks. Anybody out there that thinks they have proof of evolution needs to give us a call at 800-955-8200, or you can go to my website, creationmatters.org, and email me there. Do you have any proof of evolution? And I'm talking about observable proof. I'm not talking about this thing we sometimes refer to as microevolution, which is not evolution. It is genetic variability. Now, I'm not talking about natural selection, because as creationists, we believe in natural selection because we see that happening all the time. That's a fact. But natural selection has nothing to do with evolution. I need to see the facts. So number 14 was shifting the burden of proof. Number 15, we'll go to number 15, then we'll take a break right after number 15, called ad hominem. Whoa, what in the world does that mean? Ad hominem. That is an example of attacking the person instead of the argument. Isn't that what Bill Maher did? You know, he probably couldn't offer any evidence for what he believes. He just believes it. But yet he's willing to call other people ignorant and names, but yet he cannot defend. I would love to see him in a debate with a creation scientist. I would just love to see him debate somebody one-on-one and see how much he really believes in what he believes. But ad hominem, attacking the person instead of the argument. Here's some examples. Asserting that creationists are ultra-conservative and do not have real degrees or are liars. Folks, there are thousands of creation scientists out there that have their PhDs from well-known universities like UCLA, University of Colorado, MIT. All over the world, we have these degrees from very secular universities. So, we're not liars. Here's another one. Here's another example of attacking the person, accusing creationists of quoting out of context when they did not. I get that a lot when I read quotes. They always say, oh, you quoted out of context. You know what my response is? Prove it. You made the claim. You got to prove it. Because, folks, I have these books, and I've read the books. If the evolutionists are going to make that claim, it's up to them to support that our quotes are out of context. We need to get rid of these logic errors and get back to thinking critically, get back to good science. And if you want more information on all this, you can go to our website, creationmatters.org. And I mentioned before the last break that you can actually view on our website short clips of our DVDs to see what you think. And you can even download complete outlines of each one of these DVDs for free. So creationmatters.org. Go out to creationmatters.org and take a look at our DVDs. We're back on the air here, and we're going through logic errors used by evolutionists and also these logic errors we find in many of the textbooks. And we've got five more to go, and we've got just a few minutes here, so we're going to maybe up this from 90 miles an hour, maybe up to about 95 miles an hour. And again, these will be posted on our website, creationmatters.org, later tonight or early tomorrow morning. Let's go on to number 16, equivocation. This is probably the biggest one we find in the textbooks. This is confusing the issue by using vague terms or changing the definitions of words. Example, changing the definition of science to support only evolution. Did you know that? Over the past 20 years, they've actually changed the definition of science. Science is no longer the search for truth. Science can only mean evolution now. Here's another example, not clearly defining terms such as natural selection or macroevolution or even evolution. You know, our kids are so confused when they come out of they don't even know what to think because we're not defining our words anymore. You know, one of the common terms, common definition for evolution is change over time. That is not a valid definition. Not a valid definition at all. See, a definition must precisely say what it includes and what it excludes. Change over time includes everything in the universe, folks. That's not a valid definition. So we need to rewrite some of our textbooks or get better textbook writers out there that really understand science. Well, let's go to number 17. I call this card stacking. Card stacking. That's listing all the points in your favor while ignoring the serious points against it. Example, pouncing on one item by your opponent but ignoring the major points he or she had against your view of evolution. For instance, folks, they tend to ignore, where did this universe come from, the origin of matter? We had a big bang, but you know you can't have anything go bang until you have something that can go bang. So where did the matter come from? They try to ignore that. How did life originate? They try to ignore that. Where did the dinosaurs come from? They ignore that. What's the mechanism for change? They ignore that too. You see, it's overwhelming, these arguments against evolution, so they just kind of shove them under a rug. Say, let's not talk about that. Let's attack our opponents. Well, let's go to number 18 here. I call this one bluffing. Number 18 is bluffing. And I get this a lot when I get into arguments or discussions with evolutionists. Bluffing means appearing to know more than you do. For example, making the claim that the fossil record is full of transitional fossils. Folks, if the fossil record was full of these transitions, why don't we see them in the museums? Why are we only finding a few alleged transitions in textbooks? The reason is there are no transitional fossils out there. Every one that they have alleged has been shown not to be true. Or here's another one they use. Dinosaurs evolved into birds. Don't bother us with the evidence. Just believe it. Folks, that's a scientific impossibility. But you know they teach that in high school today? They actually teach it in our biology textbooks. Dinosaurs evolved into birds. And they have one example. And that one has been shown to be 100% bird, not half dinosaur, not half bird. It's called the Archaeopteryx. And we'll talk about that one at another point on the radio show. All the other alleged feathered dinosaurs have been proven to be frauds. Well, let's go to number 19. I call this appeasement. The appeal that we're not really so different. I see this from the National Center for Science Education. Here's your example. Most religions don't have a problem with evolution. Now, is that a true or false statement? Most religions don't have a problem with evolution. You know, unfortunately, that is a true statement. Most religions don't have a problem with evolution. But folks, here's the difference. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is not a religion. Religions are man-made ideas, just as evolution is. It's a man-made idea. So most religions will very easily buy into the concept of evolution because they're all man-made. But the Bible is the Word of God, straight from God, given to man to understand. In 6 days, God created everything. He wrote it down on the stone tablets for us in the Ten Commandments. So most religions don't have a problem with evolution. That's appeasement, and that's what they do. They even talk about the Pope. Oh, Pope accepts evolution. Yes, he does, because he's got a man-made religion out there, folks. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then number 20, last one, visualization. Visualization, using imagery to mislead or to substitute for real evidence. Examples. They talk about the evolutionary tree of life. There is no tree of life out there, folks. There's gaps in every area. Or they talk about the geologic column. You know, the only place we find the full geologic column is in textbooks. We don't find it anywhere on this planet. Then the reconstruction of these alleged ape men. We don't find any ape men, folks. We find apes and we find humans, but nothing in between. Unless you're going to these textbooks and seeing the pictures drawn by artists, folks, 20 logic errors used by evolutionists because they cannot support what they believe by the evidence. Folks, but remember this. The first and foremost thing we need to understand is who is the creator of all things. Do you know that's Jesus Christ? You know what it says in the Bible in Mark 8, verse 38? Mark 8, verse 38, it says this. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. Doesn't that sound like this generation also? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him, the Son of Man, also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Folks, if you're ashamed of God's word, guess what he just said? He's going to be ashamed of you. His word is true from beginning to end. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, folks. Never forget that. You know what also the Bible teaches in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 12, says this, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Folks, he's given us all the evidence. Romans 1, 19 and 20 tells us that God has given us all the evidence that he is the creator. And if you don't accept, you have no excuse. Folks, he has told us earthly things. If you can't believe the earthly things, how in the world are you going to believe it when he tells you about the heavenly things, his kingdom? You see, the physical things are closely tied to the spiritual things throughout the whole Bible. You can't deny the physical and still hold to the spiritual. They're one and the same. They're intertwined together, folks. So, for God so loved the world, Jesus Christ is the creator of all things, folks. That's what we need to stand on. Never, ever be ashamed of God's word. Even if you have 100 scientists against you, folks, they are not your judge in eternity. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who will be your judge, folks. And if you're ashamed of him here, he will be ashamed of you when you come before him. You have something strong to think about there, folks. Do you take the word of secular scientists? Or are you going to stand on God's word from beginning to end? Go out to our website, creationmatters.org. And you'll see this complete list, folks. And God bless all of you. In the beginning, God created. And that's a fact.
You've been listening to Creation Matters with your host, Mike Riddle, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live. If you'd like more information on today's topic or information about Christian training and development services, simply call 425-269-3196. That's 425-269-3196. Or go to the website creationmatters.org. That's creationmatters.org. And click on the KGNW radio box. Join us next Tuesday at 6 when we'll discover and discuss the truth that for by Him all things were created. That's all right here next week on Creation Matters, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live.